will call the Plan Commission meeting to order at 6:32. Roll call, Dart.
Here.
Hanson.
Here.
Breslau.
Here.
Ruff.
Here.
Copper here, and Kalata is excused. And I would be looking for a motion to adopt the agenda.
So moved.
I'll second.
There's been a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And we all have the minutes from our last meeting, which include our tour. Everybody's had a chance to take a look at those.
I just had one question. The Zeman shopping plaza, was that where it's at?
Yes.
We were there, but we didn't actually discuss.
Sure.
So.
So we were there, but we.
But we didn't have a discussion.
Just ice cream.
We only talked about ice cream.
Right. And I think we adjourned actually before that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah. That's right.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. Any other changes needed? If not, I'll be looking for a motion to approve them with the note that that we did stop there, but that was after the meeting was adjourned. We just stopped for ice cream. Motion to approve
them? So approved. So moved. So.
It's been a motion. Is there a second? And a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And opposed? Carried. Number four on the agenda are the announcements. Trevor, could you please give us the updates?
So the update on the zoning code, Debbie, our clerk, and myself went to a presentation down in Grand Chute a few weeks ago to listen to a lady from General Code, which is a thought I think you might hear community. Can you use General Code?
No, we didn't. We created our own.
Okay. But they're, it's a resource to use to put codes on online, and they also do recodification. So they will be presenting to the board on October 7th, just kind of an overview of what their services include. And that's just kind of to get the three new board members kind of up to speed as far as like the need for recodification. And then from there, I think you get some support later on, and we can just start discussing that again.
Is that just for the zoning code or for all municipal codes?
That's all for all municipal codes.
Okay, are there any questions for Trevor on that? Okay, moving on to the next one, the update on the public works projects.
I'll give you some updates on that. If you haven't gone through the roundabout, it is open. However, it's Bible Street's only open from, Hoffman Road's only open from Bible Street to Webster Avenue. We're still behind schedule on the eastern portion of it. Hopefully they'll get caught up with, especially this week with nice weather. A couple other streets will be paved tomorrow, Wabener Drive and Auburn. They're supposed to be completed tomorrow. So that's moving forward. And I think that what's left are, well, maybe Longview too tomorrow as well. But you've got Hastings and the southern portion of Webster, South Clay, and of course the rest of Hoffman to be completed as streets are concerned. The East River Trail will be also paved from 172 south to Hoffman Road on Wednesday. So that's moving right along and looking really nice. So that's about where we're at with the update on
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Brad? Okay, then we'll move on to number 5 for public appearances. And if anybody would like to address the commission, if they could please come to the microphone, state your name and address, and it'll give you your chance to speak.
Jim Moore, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm just concerned about the Highway 57 project and the proposed study that is going to be going on now for the Riverside Drive Corridor study. I think it's going to be a little too late. It's not going to allow the public to have any impact with regards to the state on what that highway will allow. And I have already been notified by the state that one of the parcels that we're selling won't be allowed access to the state highway 57. And I think that everybody else should know how that highway will impact their property. I am the realtor that put one of the fences on Highway 57 in order to sell my property in the town and country portion of the Highway 57. And we spent a lot of time deciding on whether we should spend $4,000 on putting up a fence to provide some feeling of security for the property along Highway 57. And once we spent the $4,000, we put a nice gate on there opening up to Highway 57, knowing about the trail that was going in. Once we put the gate on, we were able to sell the property right away. So we have to look at not only the road carrying capacity for the highway, but the impact that the highway will have on property owners who currently have fences and will want to do some landscaping along that route. It's more than just lines on paper. You really have to go out there and listen to the property and imagine yourself in these people's backyards with their kids playing soccer and that type of thing. Thank you.
Thank you. And it doesn't appear there are any other people here for public appearances, so we will move on to number 6. Approval of the amendment with the zoning code, zoning ordinance for cell towers. And Trevor, you had just mentioned before the meeting that we would not be looking at that as for a motion tonight. We would just be discussing that. Could you explain that?
So I think we touched base on this a little earlier in the summer. We had a cell tower come to us through CUP. And we were unable to really do anything because of this new legislation. The new legislation went in place June of last year, and it really takes a lot of home rule away from local municipalities. Right now, as the legislation reads, local municipalities no longer are able to dictate what zones subtires can be placed in. We can't really have much say in anything related to the cell tower, except that we can ask that they look at placing antennas on existing cell towers, and if that doesn't work, then that's much higher than they have. So this ordinance that Dennis put together, I did change a few things, and the one thing that it got caught up was Dennis Duffy, our attorney, suggested we do not send this process through the CUP process because just of the time limitations that the new legislation requires us to go through. I believe we only have 90 days to approve the construction of the cell tower. So, being that said, it's not as simple as just taking out the CUP wording and placing it something else, because now we have to develop a new process for reviewing these. So,
wouldn't the process just be a regular building permit?
It can be.
So.
But you said that we would have the ability to encourage them to use existing locations, or
correct.
So who would be encouraging them then? The building inspector when they issue the permit, or would that still come before us somehow?
That's what we're supposed to meet with getting stuff in this morning, and we actually had a discussing other matters and are unable to discuss this item. But that's something we're looking at. We'll go to.
Okay.
It looks like they're required with their application to submit a statement signed, sworn by the applicant that they can't, either it's like functionality, coverage, capacity would be not met or not technically feasible or economically burdensome. So they have to, it sounds like they have to prove or at least, you know, sign a paper that says that there's no feasible way that they can attach it to an existing tower. So I guess that's something that we...
So this is something that you'll be bringing back to us at a later date then?
I'm hoping by next month.
Okay.
The legislation is a little confusing because under parent 2, parent close, parent A, parent close, it says subject to the provisions and limitations of this section, a political subdivision may enact a zoning ordinance to regulate the siting and construction of new mobile service support structures and facilities. And with regard to the Class 1 co-locations, also regulates substantial modifications of existing structures. But if you go down to... a couple pages over, it's C. I don't know if this is still under 2... No, 3C. It says that we're prohibited from enacting an ordinance prohibiting the placement of a mobile service support structure in a particular location within the subdivision, or within a political subdivision. So there seems to be contradictory language in the statute. I appreciate a the attorney determining what applies, because it's a there's a life safety issue with respect to the fall zone, you know, of towers, radio towers, and they need to be outside of where we have residential. So.
Right, and I believe it's not here something that. Some supplemental material that we have to provide engineering standards that they show that the fall zone is proper requirements.
Okay. If you also under, and again the state statute under three D. No, 3E, we're prohibited from charging a mobile radio service provider any recurring fee for an activity described in 2A or a Class 2 co-location. The question is, are we still permitted? Don't we charge rent for, so are we prohibited from charging rent for antennas on? You know, it's pretty ambiguous wording. You know, it could go either way in the courts, I guess, from what I can tell. So.
Well, we charge rent when they're on, like, our water tower structure, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, you should have clarified that, yes.
And then the fall zones, if there's an antenna that's put up, you have some, a radius, a round area that describes a fall zone for an antenna. If that goes over our boundaries into another municipality, wouldn't they also have to get a permit? Wouldn't there have to be dual permits somehow? developed, I would think we'd want to say something about that in our ordinance. And then the last thing, I'm concerned with the definition of substantial modification because it only addresses height. It doesn't address structural loading of the existing antenna structure if additional facilities are placed on that structure, which could affect the wind loading and other structural elements. Now, I know that is an issue of that can be dealt with through liability proceedings, but I would think we'd want to guard against having to deal with a catastrophe before we have to get to that point. So the substantial modification only addresses height of the antenna, so adding 20 feet for a structure under 200 feet or 10% more height.
I think it also talks about square footage and foot width.
I would think it would be standard to ask for supporting calculations when issuing a building permit on this to show that the structural integrity can withstand some additional antennas. You probably didn't do that now.
I'm sure we do. A public works director knows a lot of this. That's something I can look at this year.
And he would look at those when they're on one of the towers. Are there freestanding? Well, we just approved the ones on top of the Prevea clinic, so there are other ones that aren't, that Craig probably wouldn't look at if it's not village owned.
I'm trying to think back to the Trader Flowers. Remember the ones up Trader?
Mm-hmm.
That went through a lot of different areas, including the the air planes.
Oh.
And there's a lot of different individuals that looked at that. So whether or not we looked at it from a structural standpoint, I don't think so, because it wasn't on our property.
But you would have required
a building permit? Well, for the additional antennas on both the Schrader one, the flagpole, they submitted structural calculations for all of those.
Okay.
So. And that's really what is necessary. That's what I'm saying is necessary. It's not covered by the statute, which I think is an error in the statute. So I don't know if we can require that in addition or not. But we need to make sure that there isn't additional wind load on a structure that would compromise either the antenna structure itself or the support itself or the attachment to at grade. So.
Is there anything else, Roger?
No.
Anything else? And we'll just leave that one until the next meeting. Okay. Number 7 is discussion on Riverside Drive corridor study and reconstruction timeline.
All right, so at the last board meeting, we found out a few dates. The DOT gave their presentation to the village board, and they highlighted some dates there. The most important and most recent one being the coming up is the one on October 8th, and that's the public input session at out of Leader Paul. And then also the RFP was approved by the village board, so with a few modifications to the dates. So these dates were kind of identified in the quarter study to match up with what the DOT has presented. Yes, sorry, I'm a little sick and have a head cold. I'm just losing my train of thought here. So I guess when Brad and myself and some other people will be reviewing these RFPs, are there specific things that you guys are looking for that you should be aware of? You should be addressing at each one of these milestones, or are there different things in between that we should also be aware of?
I just have a question. Is the DOT aware of the study that we're doing then? They are. Okay. And then will they kind of hold off on some of their bigger decisions until they see the outcome of the study?
What we're trying to be as transparent to them as possible, knowing that there could be some potential development along Riverside Drive. So identifying some of the areas that certainly would require more engineering aspect, more so the southern portion, the northern portion of Riverside Drive. That area was to be redeveloped. This is the only time to really get involved with it and have to make sure we're doing it correctly. So they're very aware of those sort of issues or potentials. When they were making their presentation, and please, if I say something a little out of line, please correct me, Penny, but going through their timeline is they would like to have a preferred alternative selected by spring, at the latest of 2015. So that's coming up very close, very soon. So the importance of going to that October 8th meeting is extremely for anyone that's interested. They're sending out, I think it was 680 invitations to those that live along that area. So hopefully we'll get a really good turnout. In regards to their plans, during the summer of 2016, they're hoping that they're down to just a few tweaks here and there. So our corridor study, in relation to this, our corridor study being, and we're asking the completion, once approved, if approved by the board, the corridor study to be completed in June of 2015, so that we are trying to work as closely as we can with the DOT to make any modifications that possibly could happen. So the corridor study is a little quick turnaround as far as the request for RFPs to be resubmitted back to the village. But Trevor went through and personally emailed or mailed to as many local firms as possible, and then extended it elsewhere as well. So hopefully we get a good response to this.
So what's in the RFP? What did you ask for?
You want to go through it because you rewrote it more than I did. I can start to talk a little bit about it. We're looking at land uses along the corridor, potential zoning changes if necessary. What is the consistency in the zoning? Density. Then you have to look at the requirements in our green space within the developments. Some market analysis. to be taking place? What am I missing? And a little bit of a sense of vision. How might Riverside Drive look? The intent is to have the consultant spend time with shareholders, interview residents, to get a good feel for...
Shareholders? You mean stakeholders?
Stakeholders, excuse me. Not shareholders, stakeholders.
Okay.
We're not the backers. To get a good sense of what, you know, the residents and those living along that corridor, the businesses that are along the corridor, see as part of the vision. We have to take all of our plans that have been put together, the comprehensive plan, the outdoor rec plan, the Brown County plan, the waterfront, riverfront development plan, what's that? The DOT's plan, and put those all together and shake it up and hopefully come out with a product that's a good sell for developers. That's the ultimate goal. And for our community, not just the developers. Mm-hmm. It's got to be something that fits our community, gives us the identity that we're looking for. That's kind of where we're at. I hope that answered the question.
So we'll, when you get it, decide to accept the proposal, will you bring that to here for review?
Within the proposal, we highlighted 6 public meetings, which would involve the Planning Commission as well. So the presentations would be going back and forth, and then the final presentation would probably be a joint presentation to Planning Commission and Village Board. And then as the process is going along, we see things that maybe we want to change or whatever. We've got opportunities in these meetings to do that.
Are there interim milestone dates for preliminary analysis to be complete or certain internal meetings? I'm just thinking for if something comes up that might make a major change or at least something, a significant change to what the DOC is already planning, if they're hoping to just be making small tweaks by the June, by summer, if we see something a little bit bigger, it'd be nice to be able to give the DOT a heads up that even if it's not final, to say, you know, this is something that has come up and it might impact the design. Are there any interim milestone dates in the RFP?
We did not identify any of those, no. Just the completion date of June of 2015.
And a quick question. Did I hear you say that in the RFP, the request was to hold 6 public meetings?
There would be 6 that in conjunction with either the Planning Commission or the Village Board. So as you get a working group going through.
But those are, they'll be public meetings.
Correct.
By definition, because they're here.
Correct.
I mean, it's not like the meeting at Aldo Leopold where they're going to require or request people to come other than just to the Village Board or the Planning Commission.
Well, you would hope that you would get some of the stakeholders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Attending those meetings so that they have a good sense of what's going on.
There'd be a good notification process so that
Right.
they wouldn't have to look at our website to see that there's a meeting. There'd actually be something mailed to them.
And that's going to be the nice aspect of being able to really identify who is that. I mean, it's our community.
Yeah.
And so you've got 5,000 homes and addresses that you'd like to certainly keep up and evolve, but you know, we'll do our best to keep that in the forefront through the website and as well as some of the direct mailings because of the effectiveness, but the effective property owners along the corridor as well.
Yeah, that's kind of all I was thinking about was the property owner stakeholders that are on the road. Thank you.
Is the selection going to be qualitative or low bid?
We just the price is part of it. But so the way we put the RFP together is that's the last thing that we want to see. We want to be able to go through and have a quality-based selection process to the best of our ability. I mean, if you open up the best, then all of a sudden the sticker shock is too much to absorb. At least you have a fallback in there that, you know, this is the deciding factor. But quality basis is pretty much following what a lot of the DOT stuff has done. We're looking for examples. So when they submit, and whomever is part of the committee that is going to help select them and interview them, we're asking for them to provide us with some samples of things that they've done. So give us a good indication of what their qualifications are and what their output has been. And then be able to follow up with some of those communities too that they've worked in. How the process has gone, how their public input took place. Was it just the consultant, or did the consultant open it up to the community?
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I did. This is the presentation that they made the other night. I'm not going to be able to do it again. I don't have the technology to do what they're doing.
Riverside.
Good. So obviously, just can you even see that very well? Nope. I don't know. Maybe something younger that most people.
There's the box at the end of the menu bar there that has the arrows going out. Go further. No.
Go to the right. Go to the right.
Oh, to the left.
Just to the left of tools.
Right. Oh, those things.
There you go.
All right. I just learned something today. So it's nice. I'm going to turn the page. There it is. The yellow, I believe, is there are the sidewalks, correct? Yes. We'll just kind of walk through a little bit. You'll see where some of the crosswalks are. Rose Lawn. So they're looking at a crosswalk real close to Fox Point Boat Launch.
Are those red triangles, vision triangles?
Yes, those are the vision triangles that they identify.
And what is the green shading?
Sensitive area.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the purple is historic.
Yeah, purple would be the historic. I believe this has changed a little bit from what I think when we had talked earlier, where they've had the crosswalk. When the sidewalks were installed on Riverside Drive, I think the intent was to go between Arrowhead and St. Mary's. Pretty sure that's how it originally was, but this is how they feel it would go. Or could go, I should say.
What are the possibilities?
Thank you. We're moving up towards closer to 172.
Now, those yellow lines you said were the sidewalk?
Correct.
This is the second time I've seen it, so I'm still not quite clear. But does that mean the road goes, widens right there? Mm-hmm. So does all that property have to be bought?
Those because they have turn lanes in there?
Uh-huh.
Summer Islands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the one that takes a lot more space than the other one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can you show you different versions?
Yeah, there's two versions on here. This one is wider.
Well, it seems like there's an awfully long distance between crosswalks.
They don't have
crossing Riverside Drive. You show the trail going down to connecting to the Fox River Trail. And they're showing a crosswalk through there. So I think, I don't know if it's because they don't know if it's going to be a roundabout, if it's going to be stoplights, what it's going to be at this point. This is a different version now, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a two-way left turn lane. And so consider four lane, undivided.
This one has the median. That's what we're seeing?
Yeah, total. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's four lane then total.
No,
if they did the total, they would break down. Okay.
I think they said if they brought it down anymore, it would draw a lot of traffic up to us.
So
yes.
We ran their models.
Mm-hmm.
Out of sight triangle. And now you see the crosswalk that pushed back between Arrowhead and St. Mary's. Where before it was between St. Francis and Arrowhead.
So this is back to the first, this is the other half.
That's not the one north of 172.
This is the one without the twirl.
Where's Lazar?
To the left.
That was in the yellow one.
Yeah. On the backup one. Right there. Roger?
Yeah. Because that's a major pedestrian crossing. I hope they understand that.
And all the crosswalks, they have that center median for their little refuge.
Now, why do they have the crosswalk on the side of the road of Alloway opposite from where the sidewalk is?
Mm-hmm.
That's that makes no sense.
Alloway,
yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. So you have to cross and cross.
Yeah, right. So,
Roger, can you give right down your comments because they're really good?
So, well, I think they're on tape. So. Here you're showing just sidewalk on one side.
With that red area for the vision triangle, it extends across that whole parking lot. Would they lose all that parking space?
No, no. They just have to keep landscape materials down so that you can see. You can't have any visual obstructions in that red area.
There's a fence there, though, that's
going to have to
come out.
Oh. Do you hear it? Frequency? On 30?
On
30? Well, the village owns this little piece right here on the corner. Here on this side, yes, you're correct. There's a white fence.
Yep, it's really hard to see around.
Yeah.
Be nice if that came. I mean, unfortunate for the property owner, but it's really hard to see.
is just kind of what they went through with their presentation.
It says improve, it doesn't say perfect.
Their history on when they started this whole project. I just don't remember 2000, the last pavement and surface project. I don't remember.
It's already 14 years ago.
It's pretty bad shape, though.
Well, if you resurface something with a really bad base, it's not going to do much for long. So.
So, yeah, obviously this is the October 4th, 38th.
So it's not done till almost 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And they started in 2020. Yeah, that is a long time.
You talked a lot about the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, too slow or too fast.
Maddie explained all this speed stuff to
us. After one of the stakeholder meetings, a couple of the people at the meeting spoke with an officer that was outside, and he said that they don't stop anybody down there unless they're going 47 or over, and it's posted at 35. So I think the word is out, and that's why people do go fast.
Well, the whole time?
Yeah.
Wow.
It is pretty crazy. I mean, if you get five over and you get killed, you know, to get it all day. You only go five over just to keep them off you, and you get closer and closer.
I'm one of those people holding up traffic, I think.
You're only going 40?
That's right.
They talk a lot about the complete street aspect.
So are they're raising the speed limit on that road then?
No, it's going to be
25.
But at the stakeholder meeting, we thought, well, why is it 25 in Green Bay and 25 in De Pere? Why should you speed up to go through Alloway? We should have it be 25. And they said, no, they won't drop it.
Mm-hmm. So. Anyone would like this, we could always email it to you as well.
Barb, they talked about changing the configuration of the road to slow down, would slow down the traffic. So if they put a roundabout, whether it's at St. Joseph's or at Elway Avenue, that would slow down the traffic. But then it diverts traffic up to Webster Avenue.
Right.
But the slowing down the traffic is one of the things that...
Hopefully in years to come, we'll have developments along the other ones. People to slow down, stop, and visit.
So if you see people in the crosswalks, you'll be more aware of that there could be people walking, and then you would want to go a little slower.
And when they talked about the Fox River Trail, because the trail was designed as a recreational trail, not a transportation trail.
Well, its ownership as a rails-to-trails thing, you know, you can't use that for...
Right.
Mm-hmm. Transportation purposes. Then, so.
And they don't clear that in the winter, do they?
No, they don't plow it, so they'd have to plow it.
So. The exceptions to the limit, or exceptions to the state statute?
Or the accepted information that increased the project by 40%?
Mm. And the max is 20?
And they're still making us do it.
Really?
So that, where is that?
It's a NEDA area.
She said the
20% max. I'm working on a project in NEDA area where the adding accommodations will increase by 40% the cost of the project, and they're making it go to the same capacity. So the 20%,
they don't even have to adhere to their
the 20%
exceptions.
Is a.
Does that include the cost of acquisition of additional property? It does. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They didn't even show us the first one, did they? Two lane and center lane?
Oh.
They said they're talking about three alternatives, but one of the alternatives wasn't included. I think that's the first one, right?
We started with three at that stakeholder meeting, and then we got it down to the two that we're looking at now. So they eliminated that,
that
one.
First one, yeah.
Because that one really would have diverted traffic up on the website.
That's their thing.
Is this intermediate or is it going on?
In 2 days. Right?
Well,
it's at the September 24th.
Oh.
This is pretty much what they went through the other night, and so you're going to go through probably a portion of this, the October 8th meeting.
So it being a highway, if people are speeding down there, we don't police that?
Well, the sheriff.
We still can. I mean, can't mm-hmm. we enforce some?
Yeah, they sit on Riverside.
Hmm?
West Court is a good one that they sit on because you can't see them. Until, well, it's always too late. By the time you see them, it's too late.
When is your under 47?
But yeah.
Yeah, but that's a bad rule.
I know, when they tell people that, right?
That's a really bad rule.
When I knew somebody that was pulled over on Webster, and they said, you know, if you're really in a hurry, you should be taking Riverside Drive. So that's what the officer told him.
Yeah.
What took the picture of the spider web?
That's down at Weezy Park. I took that.
Well, that's neat. Cool.
Was that a couple years ago, or is that?
Yeah.
You will just keep us up to date on that process. If the RFP responses are due the middle of October, then you could let us know at our October Plan Commission meeting how many people submitted. And okay.
We had our first phone call today, so that was someone we've already reached.
Huh?
How many were sent out?
14 mailed out. And emails, probably another 10.
Is it possible to see the list of people that you sent these to? Companies?
Yeah, if you have someone else that you were missing on here, please let us know because we'll get it in your hands.
Yeah, if you could email the list to me, that'd be great.
Sure. We've been in contact with their own county as well. They're a little bit limited, and very limited in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're restricted by administrative rules and how much time they can devote, and they can't really act as a consultant effectively. So.
If there's something that willing to help us with, they're certainly open to all that, so that's just good.
Are there any other questions for Brad or Trevor on that subject? Okay. And the next item on the agenda is the next meeting date, which is October 27th. And agenda items would include, you think you will have something on the cell tower ordinance?
I think so.
And then could we just continue having an update on public works projects at each of the meetings?
You have a quarter of stuff to that particular meeting.
Okay.
Whether or not a recommendation will be quite ready, we hope so. And that's 10 days after they're due.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll be able to have a recommendation because then we can maybe get it on board agenda as soon as we can in November.
Would that come to us for recommendation to the village board, or would it just go directly to the village board?
I would think you would want some input from this committee. So.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
I wasn't sure of the process.
Working closely with it anyway.
Okay.
Be nice to get an update on the railroad bridge reconstruction on Webster also. See where that is. So.
Is that project moving along rather quickly? Are they?
Seemed to be.
Okay.
When they did the presentation to the village board, they had essentially working drawings.
Okay.
They were shown.
Is there anything else that anybody would like to see on the agenda for next month? Okay, we have the update on public works, cell tower ordinance, the corridor recommendation, and the update on the railroad bridge. And that general code presentation goes to the village board on October 7th. Will they be deciding on anything at that date? So there won't be anything to update us on by October
27th? I can see if she can give us her PowerPoint if she gives one, and we can show it like we did tonight.
Okay. Interesting. Be interesting? Okay. If you could get that. Okay. If that is it, then I will be looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Got a motion? I'll wait there a second. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Thank you.